welcome to the Lightning Round.
Welcome.
Hello, and welcome to the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round. It's episode 35. Whew, it's week 44 of this idiot president, also known as the 46th Quadrennial Hunger Games. Woo, let's get to it. Normally, I let that song play out, and I do a little fade, you know, it goes from normal volume down to no volume, and then I come in and start talking, but I just felt like cutting it off today. So, last week, for the Jackassery Minute, we talked about the Rittenhouse case, and I wanted to follow up on that. Actually, to provide a little more info on the three people shot. Joseph Rosenbaum, Anthony Huber, and Gage Grosskreutz. And I just wanted you to get a better understanding of the three. So Joseph Rosenbaum was the first person Rittenhouse shot, okay? Rosenbaum was at the peaceful protest, wink, wink, after he had just been discharged from a hospital in Milwaukee. He was 36 years old and he crossed paths with Rittenhouse in a used car lot. Rosenbaum approached Rittenhouse and attempted to engage him. That was his lawyer's comments. I found this little article in, of all places, NPR, because I was shocked. It came up in my news feed, and, you know, I was holding my nose as I started to read it, but they actually just presented 87.5% factual information. They didn't put their spin in it or made you try to feel guilty about it or anything, but the Rittenhouse is lawyer, Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyer, apparently during the trial, said that Rosenbaum tried to engage him, and when Rittenhouse didn't want anything to do with it and took off running, because in that state, your first step is to flee. Any state, most states now have removed that flee aspect from, say, a concealed carry. Ohio's on their way to doing just that, I believe, if they haven't done it already. I don't think it's been signed yet. But Rosenbaum took off after him, chasing him. Apparently, he had just been discharged from a mental hospital, and he was carrying a plastic bag with his toothbrush, toothpaste, socks, deodorant, and some papers. So Rosenbaum took off after him and then threw his plastic bag of mental hospital belongings at Rittenhouse. At some point, he tried to take Kyle's gun. Kyle shot him. According to this person named Stewart, Karen Stewart, Joseph Rosenbaum's fiance, the pair had been living in a motel. The couple had been homeless several times. She described his mental health issue, saying he was on antidepressants and medication to treat his bipolar disorder. He had been in the hospital following a suicide attempt. So now you read the full picture on this guy. Okay? He's got mental health problems. He's got diagnosed bipolar disorder. And he tried to kill himself. Is there any wonder why he reached for the gun? He couldn't do suicide by cop? So he found a 17-year-old kid to do it. I don't know. I don't know what was going through his mind, but that's sure what it looks like if I read between the lines. According to Karen Stewart, his fiance, we just spent a lot of time talking, getting to know one another and laughing and joking around. He was a very animated person like that. Rosenbaum was raised in Texas and Arizona. This is where you get, this is not a good part. None of it's good, but Rosenbaum apparently was molested by a stepfather and spent most of his life, of adult life, in prison starting at 18 for sexual conduct with 5 preteen boys. So Rosenbaum was preyed upon, and then when he became an adult, became a predator. His mother was sent to prison when he was 13, and Rosenbaum began using heroin and methamphetamine at a group home where he was sent. This guy's life was a train wreck. Pretty much everything up until when his mother went to prison was beyond his control. So you talk about nature versus nurture. I don't think this young man, well, he was 36 at the time when he died, when Kyle shot him. I don't believe he was created out of the womb to be a pedophile and to have all these issues. I think they were beaten into him by his stepfather. I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, I do and I don't. I guess I don't know how the best way to explain that. You're like, man, this guy's life is a freaking Greek tragedy. I mean, I feel bad for him that kind of shit happened to him, but damn, man. Anthony Huber, after shooting Rosenbaum, Rittenhouse panicked and set off running away from the scene of the fatal shooting toward the police line. But several protesters believe Rittenhouse was an active shooter and began chasing him. Anthony Huber was among them. He was 26. He grew up in Kenosha, was an avid skateboarder. And he was at the protest with his girlfriend, Hannah Giddings. According to Hannah, Anthony pushed her out of the way and ran off. I tried to grab him. Meaning he ran off trying to chase down Kyle Rittenhouse. Huber eventually caught up to him and tried to stop him by hitting him with a skateboard. But the single blow was not enough to bring Rittenhouse down. Within seconds of the tussle, Rittenhouse fired a fatal shot into Huber, who can be seen staggering away on the video, then collapsing onto the ground. An obituary described Huber as an artistic young man with a quick wit whose favorite thing was skateboarding. He died a hero fighting for the cause he believed in. What? According to the Post, whatever magazine or newspaper that this was published in, Huber and Giddings had gone to the scene of the unrest to document the demonstrations for posterity. So they weren't there actually protesting. They were just there to document. They wanted to say, hey, look, we were here. Huber was a friend of Jacob Blake, which is what the protest was about. Huber has spent time in prison twice. First for violating probation after strangling his brother, and again for kicking his sister. He spent a lot of time at the local skate park and also struggled with bipolar disorder. Two dudes with bipolar disorder at an event designed to create chaos and mayhem and panic and havoc. and they got bipolar disorder. Nothing in this article ever said whether or not they were on or off their meds. Huber's parents released a statement saying they were heartbroken and angry over the acquittal. What? Your son was beating another person with a skateboard. That is attempted murder. He was beating him in the head. They were angry and heartbroken over the acquittal, but their son would have his day in court. Huber's parents have filed negligence claims against the city of Kenosha and Kenosha County. Rittenhouse can now face civil lawsuits as well. Kind of like OJ. They found him not guilty, but he got slammed by civil lawsuits. Gage Grosskreutz is the third man shot. And he was one of several people who had chased Rittenhouse after he'd shot Rosenbaum. Again, he evoked the statement, "I thought he was an active shooter." Grosskreutz was armed with a pistol, but he also had medical supplies, all of which were standard for him to bring to a protest, he testified. He was there that night to help out with medical care. He'd been to dozens of protests over the summer. So he's a seasoned protester. Well, the way that this is written makes it sound like he wasn't there to protest, didn't actually support Black Lives Matter, maybe per se, but he was there to help people who hurt themselves, presumably when destroying things. That's me reading between the lines. Grosskreutz said he was not intentionally pointing his weapon at Rittenhouse, but during cross-examine agreed that it was pointed at Rittenhouse at the moment he was shot. So you got two guys with a gun. One guy has been chased and beaten. He shot two people. His adrenaline's flowing. He's amped up. And you point a gun at him. What do you think's going to happen when you point the gun at him? You're going to get shot. Grosskreutz was shot in the arm and lost 90% of his right bicep. 223 rounds not to be messed around with, man. He was at the protest with his medical bag. The article goes on to read that he had become a paramedic after high school, but the profession had left him burned out. Yeah, you see enough of that kind of crap. You know, domestic violence, child abuse, car wrecks, fires. You see enough of the toll on the human body from accidents or, you know, violent acts. I get it. EMTs do get burned out, and rather quickly. You know, you got to be built for that kind of stuff. But after he reached the breaking point as a paramedic, he switched and became a major in outdoor education at Northland College. He got involved in the protests that summer after an internship fell through, joining forces with an activist group called the People's Revolution, and volunteered to help out with medical care at protests. So, let me get this straight. If you're a peaceful protester, why would you need to have a paramedic in your group? What, they're all, what? Clamoring in fear from MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters out there counter-protesting? No. They know these people are not peaceful protesters. This is why all those riots and shit, they really pissed me off. And oh, by the way, did you happen to notice we haven't had any more riots since January 20th? It's almost like George Soros and his money packed up and went home because they got one of their little idiots in the White House. Politics is a freaking joke in this country. The amount of money that people are allowed to pump into an election campaign for any particular candidate is sickening. The fact that the Federal Reserve is where the money comes from to pay these jerk-offs is even more disheartening and sickening. Speaking of idiot shitboxes in the White House and in the Capitol, we have some happy news. I call it happy news. At last count, there are now 22 Democrats that have either retired or stated that they will not seek re-election in 2022. That is excellent news. Because by comparison, there are only 12 Republicans that are in the same boat. So that makes me happy. Excuse me. So, as I mentioned in the midweek show, I was getting over a cold. I've been taking my elderberry, and in an attempt to stave off my my ADHD or ADD or whatever it is, and avoid taking Adderall, I got some ashwagandha gummies. So, I'm feeling good, feeling right. The cough won't go away. You know, and my voice sounds cracked up. But anyway, after the whole Rosenbaum deal, he gets acquitted, rightfully so. When I read this, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Levi Strauss and Best Buy, a clothing company and an electronics provider, began offering counseling to employees that were stressed over the Rittenhouse verdict. Yeah, you heard that right. Some of these counseling sessions included work with a therapist who was a racial trauma specialist. So, where's the race problem here? As a white guy shot three other white guys. As a white guy, I don't need therapy to tell me that what happened was A, tragic, but B, self-defense. Because three dudes tried to beat up and or kill another dude. And that dude was armed. The lengths to which some of these companies go to coddle employees that have no gumption, no spine, no ability to think and process information in an adult way boggles the mind. There's a saying. Well, it's not so much a saying as it is, it's a quote by G. Michael Hopf. And you see it a lot in social media. You see it quoted quite frequently. And what he is being quoted as saying is, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. Think about that. Where do you think we are if that quote or statement is true, where do you think we are? I can tell you where I think we are. We're at weak men create hard times. We truly are. Because You look at the people that came out of World War II. Those were strong men and women. Rosie the Riveter, the little the female pilots that would move the planes around. Women were very much involved in World War II. Don't ever discount that. Those were strong, let's call them strong people. They created some good times, man. We had the 50s. We were pillars of industry, technology. We were leading the world. Good times, man. 50s and 60s. But then things started getting worse. You had Vietnam. And you had the good times creating weak men. People out protesting their country, spitting on soldiers coming home from the war after they had no choice. They were drafted. And they're coming back. They'd seen the horrors of war. They'd seen villages napalmed. They'd seen their buddies shot and killed. They'd lived through some of the worst weather and crap. And they come home and their country literally tells them to drop dead. Those were the weak men. But the good times were still rolling. Because you had the 80s. The stock market was going up. You had Reagan in the White House. Just more and more weak men because of the good times. They weren't coming out as people that were very overly pragmatic. The 80s kind of began the lifestyle of excess in this country. Drugs started taking a bigger foothold, and I'm not talking about just weed, because that's, you know, you had acid and cocaine, and then you started getting heroin. And these weak men have been creating hard times for the last 20 years. Pretty much all of the aughts. I love saying that. It makes me sound like I'm old or something. Oh, well, that happened during the aughts. And now we've got Zippy in the White House who doesn't know what day of the week it is. Probably shitting his pants three times a day. And there's Jill putting on a new Depends. He goes out to sign his stupid little infrastructure bill. And he starts to read the first line and he gets stumbled on. He gets stuck. He's like, I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to sign it. He doesn't know where he is. Oh, and here's a fun little bit of news, little ditty. So I was watching, admittedly, from the night the election was stolen, I have not watched Fox News. I was so livid, I just couldn't do it. But I turned it on because I wanted to see what was going on with the Rittenhouse trial. And one of the things came up, it was one of their, and I wish I could find it. But the crux of it was that because Biden's poll numbers are tanking again. Now, these aren't just random, you know, polls. They're like national Rasmussen daily presidential tracking polls. His numbers are in the tank, worse than Trump ever got. Okay? His numbers suck. And you know whose are worse? Comrade Kamala. But here was the thing that I saw. That the House of Representatives is quietly preparing. Now this could be just Fox News hokum, I don't know. But it piqued my interest. The House of Representatives is preparing to possibly replace the VP. So, Let's work this scenario out. Let's work our way through this problem here. You got Numbnut in the White House who was installed there, doesn't know what day of the week it is. Everybody knows he does not have control of his mental faculties. Everybody knows it. But you actually feel sorry for him because they threw this idiot up there, managed to get him through the election process, electoral process. COVID was a godsend to this idiot because he didn't have to go out and campaign. Had his little fireside chats from his basement pre-recorded. But his VP is even less popular than he is. But the House of Representatives is quietly preparing to possibly replace Comrade Kamala. Now, can you imagine a scenario? I can. Why? Because I'm a dystopian post-apocalyptic author. And I dream of this kind of stuff. And this is the stuff I write about. They replace, think about it. If they replace Comrade Kamala with Hillary Clinton. Can you picture that? She finally got in, but she couldn't get elected. So she had to be voted in. So this is something that they're thinking about doing. This is the whispers around that shithill, Capitol Hill. God, what a mess. Can you imagine if they replace Comrade with Hillary and then Biden steps down? Can you imagine the chaos? Oh my gosh, people would take to the streets. The rumor is that they're thinking about replacing the VP and doing it before the midterm elections while they still have a majority in the House of Representatives, because that's where that process takes place, as per the Constitution. All right, let's take a break. And now we pause for some shameless self-promotion. So fiction isn't your bag, but you want to learn about preparedness planning and herbal remedies? Or maybe you'd rather make food, not war? Then pick up a copy of one of my 3 nonfiction books. Cook a delicious multi-course meal from one of the menus in just a small gathering. Get that medicinal garden going by planting some of your favorite ingredients and recipes found in home remedies, poultices, salves, and tinctures. And if you're curious about how to solve some of your prepping problems, pick up a copy of Preparing to Prepare and see what I've done and what I recommend. Now back to the show. All right, so there's something to ponder, huh? Hillary can't win an election. Let's install her too without a single vote in the United States. It would only be a vote in the House of Representatives. And the people that would put her there would be from the coasts, the coastal states, and their majority in the House. Don't get me wrong, there are Democrats that aren't from the coast. My congressman is not a Democrat. Oh! Happy news! So, we had a midterm election, or not a midterm, we had an election in November. We had to fill the seat for Steve Stivers. There were 2 people running, Allison Russo and Mike Carey. Mike Carey won. My daughter received a congressional appointment from Mike Carey to go to the Air Force Academy. She's doing her fitness test today. She has her physical next week. And the Air Force Academy has not scheduled interviews yet. But she is on her way. She's very excited. She's very humbled. She's very honored. It was very stressful because she had interviewed with both Portman and Brown, our senators, but we had to wait for the congressman to get elected. And here's a fun little thing that I didn't know. The congressmen choose their candidates first. So my daughter was one of the first selections by the newly elected congressman from the 15th Congressional District here in Ohio, Mike Carey. After all of the congressmen and women in Ohio have made their selections for their particular districts, whatever's left over, the senators pick through for their selections. I did not know that. But we're very happy. We're very excited. So she's got her fitness test today. And that's a very rigorous test, by the way. Then she's got her physical on Monday. So we're very grateful to Congressman Mike Carey for selecting our daughter. Couldn't be happier. We got a letter. Well, it was I'm assuming a letter's coming, but it was an email first. But that all of his selections, and I don't know if it's from every district, but there's a big reception for all of the for all of the men and women that were selected by the congressman. I have to read the letter again, but I know that there's a big shindig. My wife told me I had to lose weight. You gotta love a spouse, man. She just pulls out that, hey, you need to drop some weight before this reception. I was like, oh my God, I'm just trying to be happy for my daughter and you're fat shaming me. But anyway, back to this idiot that was installed in the White House. His energy secretary came up to testify about the energy prices, and she literally, and you know, supply chain and losing energy independence and becoming energy dependent again because this idiot doesn't know what day of the week it is, and in their zeal to undo all things Trump, they've totally screwed us. It's looking more and more like Jimmy frickin' Carter. Granted, Jimmy frickin' Carter, I was, let's see, between the ages of 3 and 7 when he was president. So I had no idea what he was doing. I was just playing in the dirt. But apparently the energy secretary has no idea how much energy we actually use in any given day. How many barrels of oil do we use in any given day? But, by golly, let's release 50 million barrels from our strategic oil reserve. And, oh, by the way, when we do that, it's not going to help gas prices. It's like these guys have never run anything in their life. Oh, wait! They haven't! They are lifelong politicians. That's why I'm telling you, whoever comes up and runs for president, I mean, I don't care if it's me or you or your family, somebody in your family, an aunt, an uncle, somebody in this country could get elected, I think, quite easily by running on a platform of term limits. And several other things that I outlined previously. But if term limits was the top of the list. The American people want it, but the jackasses they keep electing will never put those limitations on themselves. Why? Because it's a cash cow. Oh, I was talking to a neighbor. Actually, it's a neighbor's dad. So he's retired Army, has worked for DARPA and a number of other places to keep his anonymity. I'll just say he knows a lot of stuff and he's worked in a lot of different three-letter agencies. He was telling me, because I was out there, you know, we had concrete work done. I was talking to those guys. Anyway, I mentioned something along the lines of term limits and, you know, how are these idiots that think if you put too much weight on an island, the island will flip over. These idiots that need to be drug tested weekly, I think. How are they coming out of Congress multi-millionaires? And it not be flagged for insider trading? And he just kind of chuckled. And he said, well, they know where all the loopholes are. And they purposefully keep them open. So that they can't be charged for insider trading. As long as they have what they call a blind trust. And it's very difficult to prove that they picked up the phone and they called the person managing their blind trust to tell them to go sell this or buy that. So that's difficult to prove in a court of law, apparently. Sounds pretty straightforward to me. But that's not what piqued my interest. He said, you remember some time ago, they were talking about putting a train in from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Through the desert, what have you. And I was like, yeah, I remember that. And he said, all of the land that was available along that route was bought by members of Congress. I was like, what? He said, yeah, look it up. Go look up the property deeds for the route that this train is supposed to take. And any land that was between Las Vegas and Los Angeles that was up for sale or was able to be purchased was bought by members of Congress. I was like, you got to be kidding. He's like, no, go look it up. Anyway, so this installed doofus has an energy secretary who doesn't know how much oil we use on a given day or how much energy we use in a given day. He's also put up literally a born and raised avowed communist for another position. You can't make this stuff up. This is like a Matthew Bracken book, man. Just, you know, when I read things, you know, like a Matthew Bracken or a James Wesley Rawls or even the stuff that I've kind of created, you know, you're like, man, that's crazy. Nobody's going to believe that. Nobody's going to believe that that could happen. Man, these books were written 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we're seeing some of the things in some of these far-flung post-apocalyptic dystopian genres come to fruition. 1984 was not a user guide. It was fiction. Speaking of idiots, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, you might have heard that a suspect named Daryl Brooks purposefully drove his speeding SUV into a Christmas parade, killing 6 people and wounding 62. He gave his first interview after being locked up for 10 days. This was a Wednesday, this report that I'm reading. He gave his first interview, says he feels dehumanized. What? I feel like I'm being monster demonized. I'm being monster demonized. Said during a brief video visit a stone's throw from where the tragedy took over. This is unbelievable, the things that this guy says. So he plowed through the parade on November 21st, a week or less than the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Oh, man. The soft-spoken accused killer offered no details about what prompted the carnage. That's not true. because they've got his social media. He's a big BLM proponent. He's a protester, a rioter. He's got stuff all over that social media accounts of his. He was angry about Kyle Rittenhouse being acquitted. It just makes me... According to the reporters, Brooks appeared calm, lucid, and took time to answer each question, even repeating reporters' questions and answers at times. So there goes the insanity plea. Oh, man. According to the article, his mother has not even gone by to see him. She's in the same town. But she did release a statement decrying Wisconsin's criminal justice system for failing her son, a longtime felon, with a 50-page rap sheet. 50 pages! Detailing domestic violence, firearms, drugs, and other convictions in Wisconsin. Brooks is a registered child sex offender in Nevada and served time in Georgia for beating his ex. But yet still, Daryl Brooks says he's very close with his mother, but has not spoken to any family since the parade attack. But they talked earlier that day. 50 pages! How in the hell is a cretin like that walking around? How does that happen? It just boggles the frickin' mind. Oh, man. But, here's a fun little ditty. Chris Cuomo got suspended by CNN. Now, you'll remember Chris Cuomo is the brother of disgraced former governor of New York. And apparently, Chris Cuomo was using his weight and leverage as a reporter at CNN to dig up information on the women who were accusing his brother of sexual harassment. But he was not quite forthcoming with his employer, CNN. He said that he was just kind of... Well, here's the quote from CNN. The New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. The documents, which we were not privy to before their release, raised serious questions. When Chris admitted to us he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules and we acknowledged that publicly. But we also appreciated the unique position he was in and understood his need to put family first and job second. However, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. As a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely pending further evaluation. So he told his employer, I'm just, offering advice. But in point of fact, what he was actually doing was he was digging up dirt on his accusers, on his brother's accusers, so that his brother's legal team could try and discredit them in the press so that they would drop the charges. That whole family is freaking corrupt. And one last thing in happy news. Americans are buying more guns than ever before. Yay! I found this one on CNN as well. on, I guess it was Tuesday, either last week or this week, I don't remember which. They had a column that affirmed Americans are buying more guns than ever before. CNN pointed out that Democrat House members have passed gun control that the Senate is not even expected to consider, as support for gun control just hit its lowest point in almost a decade. They pointed to a Gallup survey showing only 52% of Americans support stricter gun control. That is the lowest level of gun control support since 2014. CNN also acknowledged a new Quinnipiac poll, which found 48% of registered voters oppose stricter gun laws. Well, no kidding. So if a Gallup survey said 52% support it, 48% say they oppose it. That makes sense. I can do math. I don't know why they needed to break it up over two polls, but whatever. CNN observed, quote, Americans are buying more guns than ever before. In 2020, nearly 23 million guns were bought, which is a record. That surge has continued through 2021. Now let's think about that, end quote. Sorry. Let's think about that. Why were more guns bought in 2020? What was going on in 2020? Let's see. Peaceful protests that weren't. Lockdowns, COVID restrictions, wear your mask, get your jabs. All that shit was going on. Well, not the jabs part, that came later. But you had protests. They were burning cities to the ground. Well, not whole cities, but blocks of them. They were breaking windows, robbing places. Have you heard about this shit in California? Like 90 people in ski masks show up and rob these high-end stores. Why? Because if they take less than $500 or $900 worth of stuff, they can't be prosecuted. So they're like, screw it, let's go get some stuff. California is a shithole and it is ridiculous. It's like a third world country. My wife was talking to me about going, oh, I want to go visit my sister and you know we'll go meet him over in New York. And I was like, you're going alone. I am not going to New York City. You can't pay me enough to go to New York City. Oh, New York City's fine. You love it. No, I won't. Part one of that problem is there's no reciprocity for my concealed carry permit. Nope, not going to do it. Anywho. On September 9th, 2021, the National Shooting Sports Foundation looked at numbers from the first 6 months of 2021 and estimated that there were 3.2 million first-time gun buyers. Why? Because people are seeing what's going on not only in this country, but in other countries. You got the Netherlands, which is one of the happiest, the freaking Netherlands is one of the happiest places on the planet. They are literally having riots. Germany's invoking lockdowns. Australia is mandating vaccines. The world has gone freaking crazy. Oh, and Omicron. Omicron. And because we don't want to make the Chinese feel bad, we skipped over the Greek letter Z and went to Omicron. They skipped 2 and Z. I don't know. They don't want to offend the Chinese. What kind of crap is that? Ah. All right. I'm going to go cough my head off for a while. But that's the weekend show. You're now up to date. Congratulations. I'll be duck hunting over the weekend. So the Wednesday episode will give you a rundown of how that went. Hopefully, maybe I've fine-tuned the hunting process, and we'll go from there. We'll see what this idiot does over the course of the weekend and next week, and I'll talk to you about some of that next weekend. All right, everybody be good, stay safe, God bless. Bye.
Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor.